Very good morning to you. We want to welcome you to Little Swatara. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. We have an announcement from our youth, so come on up and make an announcement. It's regarding National Youth Conference.
Okay, this summer, the Senior High Youth Group will be going to the National Youth Conference in Colorado. In order to cover the funds for our trip, we must raise $18,500.
The shaded thermometer is going to show our progress as we continue to raise money. So far, we have $11,900, and we still need $6,600.
And some fundraisers that we have coming up are Soup and Sandwich on February 4th and a spaghetti dinner on February 17th.
Thank you.
All donations are appreciated, so thank you.
Let's give a round of applause to our youth. I know it takes courage to come front to make an announcement like that, but thank you, youth, for what you're doing and the wonderful meals you're providing for us and the ways that we can help support you. We want to highlight this coming Saturday is the men's breakfast at Blue Star. So all men, we want to invite you to Blue Star Restaurant at 7 a.m. So Saturday, this coming week, please join us and good fellowship, good food, and good conversation. Also, weekend to remember. If you're married, if you're thinking about getting married, if you're engaged, the weekend to remember is half price right now. So it's a marriage getaway. So save the date for February 16th to 18th. Enjoy a 2.5-day weekend that equips couples to be able to further their marriage and build stronger relationships with one another. If you have any questions about that, you can contact John or Jamie Wise, but you can go online and just look up Weekend to Remember and be sure to use your bulletin insert so you know what information to type in to get your appropriate discounts. Other announcements include today is an anointing service. So as we're going throughout the service, if there's a feeling of, you know, today I'd like to be anointed for healing or perhaps for guidance or for wisdom, things that may fall into that anointing category, please come forward at the end of the service or there'll be someone in the prayer room as well. So anointing is just a special time in the Church of the Brethren where we look at the book of James and recognize it as a act of service we do for one another with the elders and the pastor. Next Sunday, the 28th, we'll have communion during both services, so be sure to come for communion next Sunday. And then mark your calendars. Monday, February 12th, is our every member council meeting. So be sure to come out and support the church as we discuss the business and direction we're heading, and every member council meeting, February 12th. Does anyone else have any other announcements they'd like to highlight this morning? Let's pray and then we'll rise for worship. Father God, we thank you so much for gathering us here in this place. We thank you, Father, for the love that you pour out over us, for watching over us this week, for protecting us, for guiding us, for leading us. And we pray now, Father, your spirit would move in our midst, that we would be able to hear what you would have us to hear and be able to leave this place different and changed, knowing that you go with us. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Glory, honor, and to the glory.
We invite you to share in any joys or concerns you have this morning. It's a joy to have my wife Denise with us. Day by day, she's getting a bit stronger. She's thankful for all your prayers and for all your meals and for the thoughts that you've given towards our family and especially towards her. Any other joys or concerns this morning?
I ask for prayers for my Uncle Claire Graver, my mother's brother. He's been placed in hospice this week. Prayers for him and his family during this difficult time. Thank you.
Bob Krause in our prayer concerns this morning, and he'll be having, correct me, is it an aorta valve replacement? Anyone know for sure? Aorta valve? It's been postponed because of some insurance issues, but we want to keep Pastor Bob in prayer as he leads up to that surgery. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for the compassion that you pour out upon your people. We come to you this morning searching to know you more, to know you deeper, to have that intimate relationship with you as we carry out our lives. And we just pray, Father, this morning, those that are stricken with illness, you would just allow your healing touch to be upon them. We recognize you, Father, as the master physician. And we know that you hold each of our lives in your very hands. And so we pray, Father, if it be your will, your perfect, pleasing will, that we be healed. We pray that our disease and our sickness would leave us and depart in Jesus' name. But Father, we trust you. We believe in you. We know in this faith journey, we will face suffering. There will be trials. And so we lean harder upon you, knowing your comfort is at hand and you watch over us, you care for us through the day and through the night. So we give you glory this morning, Father, knowing that you are a close God, a God that is intimate with us, knowing our needs each and every day. So we take time right now, Father, to lift up any concerns upon our hearts that haven't been mentioned, but also to lift up those sins that have entered into our lives and just to confess them to you during these next few moments of silent prayer. So Father, we pray you would hear our prayers. Father, this morning we especially want to lift up our brother Dan and sister Ashley as they have safely arrived in St. Mark and are on a Haiti mission trip. And Father, you know the people that they'll encounter and the good news they have to pour forth from their lips and the service that they'll be providing. So we pray, Father, you would protect them, you would guard them, and just allow your message to go forth from that team. And we just thank you for each of them and pour your blessings upon them this week and the people of Haiti. We think, Lord, of those on our prayer concerns and lift up especially this morning Ruth Hoover and Carl and Faye Ball and Earl and Grace Miller. We lift up Dorothy Renninger and Ruth Conover and Christine Bayshore and Denise Christ and Pastor Bob Krause. And we pray for our brother Pete Contra. And Father, we thank you for the Atlantic Northeast District and pray blessings over his ministry as our new director. And just thank you, Father, for just being here in this place. Your spirit is felt and we know that you're moving. And we just pray that you would stir us to be able to love others well and to be able to help in times of need. But Father, you call each of us specifically, as you have gifted us and as you have given us talents, help us to be resourceful in using those things that you have blessed us with. We think, Father, of the weekend to remember and pray even now for those leaders that will be taking care of that weekend, that you would allow their hearts to be in tune with you and the much preparation that goes into that weekend. May we respond and attend and see the difference it makes in our marriage. And we just thank you, Father, for every member council meetings and pray even now that you would prepare our hearts for that time and just help us as a church to go the direction you're calling us. And just thank you for the way you're already moving here and for the blessing of those here in this place at this very moment. We pray, Father, you would just have your way with each of us. Just allow us to continue to worship you and put you at the center of our lives. And we praise you for all things. And it's in the name of Jesus our Lord we pray. Amen. Thank you. As we prepare for this morning's offering, consider the abundant ways in which Jesus indeed has lifted us through his unconditional love, a love that goes forth and pours upon us every single day of our lives. Father, thank you for this opportunity to give, to share of the abundance that you have blessed us with. We are so thankful for the ways in which you move in our lives, the provisions that you give us. And we just come now before you, Father, with cheerful hearts to give out of that generosity that you have so generously given us. And we thank you for the love that lifts us day in and day out. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Join me up front. What does a perfect apple look like?
It's nice and shiny red, and it has no spots, and it has no spots, no crummy spot, no like wrinkled spots, and it's like perfect apple, and when you take a bite, you get a whole crunch. I mean, like, bite.
She's got it right. So, the skin, would it be perfect red and shiny like she said? Yeah? Does it have a perfect shape?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there any spots on it from those little bugs? Nope. So, this apple sounds like a perfect apple to me. But you know what? What's usually wrong with a perfect apple?
It has spots.
It usually has spots. But what about like on the inside? There's seeds in there. Have you ever taken a bite out of that perfect-looking apple and there not being anything inside of it, being completely rotten inside?
No.
No? Well, I've got a story for you. One day, while walking through an orchard, a man stopped under an apple tree. It was loaded with big, beautiful, perfect apples, just waiting to be eaten. The man picked what looked like to be the best apple. He couldn't wait to get home to eat it, so he pulled out his pocket knife and cut it open to get a taste. To his surprise, this perfect apple was rotten to the core. Do you think that's the same thing with people sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they look perfect on the outside, but inside they're rotten. Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, some people, they go to church every Sunday, they carry their Bibles, they bring their offering, they sing every hymn, they listen to every word that preacher says. But do you think that changes their heart if they're just going through the motions?
No.
No. They look good on the outside, but inside, that goodness, it's only skin deep. Their worship is for appearance and not for the heart. Mm-hmm. Do you think Jesus faced problems like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? I think so. One day, a religious leader complained to Jesus that his disciples hadn't washed their hands before they ate. Do you wash your hands before you eat?
Yes. No.
Yeah, sometimes. Well, it depends. Well, back in the day, religious leaders, that was like the law. You have to wash your hands before you can eat. And the religious leaders did not understand why them disciples thought they don't have to wash their hands before they eat. So they asked Jesus, why do disciples not follow our customs? They eat without performing the hand-washing ceremony. Do you know what Jesus might have answered?
Mm-mm.
I'll tell you. Jesus answered, you're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. The prophet Isaiah must have been talking about you when he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship has no meaning because they have replaced God's law with their own traditions. Those religious leaders were concerned about clean hands. But what should the religious leaders really be concerned with? All right, so like we've talked about like having a clean heart. So do you think the religious leaders should have been really talking about clean hearts instead of clean hands?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. All right. So Jesus wants us to be more concerned about clean heart and yeah, let's just be more concerned about having a clean heart. Let's pray. Dear Father, help us be more concerned about being clean on the inside as we are about being clean on the outside. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
Do you remember the last time you heard these words? You did what? How did that happen? What were you thinking? Now what are you gonna do? This is bad. This is really bad. Then one of two things usually happens. You try to cover it up, or you fess up to the truth. Growing up in my household, the truth was always better than the lie. So there are these three ministers who were fishing one day. They were close friends, serving different churches in the same town. And they started to confess to one another. One of them said, "You know my biggest sin? I like to drink every Friday night. I drive to a town where no one recognizes me. And I go to the bar, and it starts with one tequila, two tequila, three tequila, four. And before I know it, I'm toast. I went too far, and I'm dealing with a hangover the next day. I even know what scripture says. I know I shouldn't get drunk, but I can't help it. It's my biggest sin." The second pastor chimes in, "Well, fellas, to be honest with you, I've got a big sin too. I like to gamble. It started with the one, then the two, then the five, and then the $20 scratch-off tickets. But that wasn't enough. Now I spend hundreds every week at the casino on my day off. I'm so ashamed, I don't know how it got so out of control. But that's my biggest sin." The third pastor just shook his head. "I can't believe this. I just can't believe this. What am I going to do? This is bad. This is really bad. Drinking and gambling?" And the other two are like, "Yeah, right. Come on. You have a big sin too." And he says, I do. But I really, really wish I would have gone first. I swear like a sailor. I lie at times. But my biggest sin is I gossip. I'm so sorry, boys." Friends, look. I know we're all human. I know we all have a fallen nature. I know we're prone to sin. But don't let that be an excuse saying, "I can't help it. I'm gonna sin. It's who I am." When you think about it, what that does is negates the power of the cross and the empty tomb to transform our lives. I don't know about each of you this morning, but I'm not willing to say there's no power in the cross. I'm not willing to say there's no change as a result of the empty tomb. Friends, we die with Christ when we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, and we rose again with new life in him. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. We've been reborn. Jesus brings the change. But maybe today you feel like that pastor who tried to tame the tongue, to tell the truth, to keep matters to himself. But all you've done is fail and fail again. So this morning, we gather together to be undone, to resolve matters of the heart, to more fully love the Lord and to love others. Friends, today can be the day we challenge ourselves to watch what we say, to realize our tongue directs where we go, that it has the power to destroy what we have. And ultimately, it displays to the world who we are. So if you've dealt with these heart issues, know this morning that you are not alone. Today can be the day we break the chains that cause our hearts to be angry, fearful, unsettled, insecure, bitter, and impure. Friends, the fact of the matter is this: God cares about the condition of our heart. And in the palm of our hand, we have the answer to these issues. And God simply says, "Get a new heart." Ezekiel 18:31, "Rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit." Friends, painting the outside of the pump doesn't make any difference if there's poison in the well. The devil needs to know who's answering when he knocks. Temptation cannot get the best of us when we say, Jesus, can you get that? You see, friends, we can change the outside. We can turn over a new leaf. But what we really need is a fresh start. We need to let go of the entire past and be born again and start over. So you might be thinking right now, Pastor, you have no idea how far I've gone. I've done some crazy, wacky stuff. You might even be thinking like Linus when he says to Lucy, I don't want my heart to be half love and half hate. I want it to be all love, Lucy. Good for you, Linus. All you have to do is lean a little to one side. See, now the love will get a chance to pour over into the hate. And good old Charlie Brown in the background simply says, good grief. Friends, we can lean to the left or to the right all we want. But God tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 21, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Friends, this is where we get excited. We start clapping. God is so good. Our lives never have to be the same. It goes on, brothers and sisters. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Come on, can I get an amen? It gets even better. Open your ears and hear this. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We have a new life, a new heart, and a new spirit. And guess what, friends? A brand new you. But let's not be like the woman who had a heart attack and was taken to the hospital. While on the operating table, she had a near-death experience. Seeing God, she said, is my time up? And God said, no, you have another 43 years, 2 months, and 8 days to live. So upon recovery, the woman decides to stay in the hospital. And she has a facelift, liposuction, a tummy tuck. She even has someone come in and change the color of her hair. Since she had so much more time to live, she figured she might as well make the most of it. After her last operation, she's released from the hospital. While crossing the street on her way home, she's killed by a car. Arriving in front of God, she demands, I thought you said I had another 40 plus years. And God replied, I didn't recognize you. Friends, let's not overthink it. Let's keep it simple. When we come to Jesus with a repentant heart, he wipes out everything we've done in the past. In essence, he says this to us, you are starting over, game over on the old life. It's like David when he prayed in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. Because friends, we know what's in our heart goes out from our mouth. I wish this morning more than anything, I could say that this is a one and done deal. But friends, every single day of our lives, we need to ask God to help us. We need a superhero like Jesus himself with supernatural power to control our untamed tongues. Bottom line, we can't do it on our own. There's no controlling it without God on our side. As Psalm 141:3 reads, we cry out to God, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. It's like saying, God, put a muzzle on my mouth. Don't let me be critical today. Don't let me be judgmental. Don't let me say things off the cuff that I'm bound to regret. And I know, friends, it's easy for me to stand here and say these things. But I believe that there is power in this room. There is strength in every single one of us to overcome these hard issues. We know, as James 1:19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. This is how we do it, folks. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Think about it. It's not rocket science. If we're quick to listen, we will be slow to speak. But let's put the icing on the cake. If we're slow to speak, we'll be slow to anger. So the problem with anger is we need to work on being quick to listen and slow to speak. And friends, the result only makes sense. We'll be slow to anger. Friends, we need to know that God will rebuild what is broken, what's out of place, what's not working in our lives. Now, I can't spell out what that looks like in each of your lives, but I can take a good guess based on what consumes you, what bothers you, what keeps you from living to the fullness of the kingdom. But we each know our stumbling blocks. Maybe it is swearing. Maybe it is lying. Maybe it is gossip. But there are tons of things that keep us off balance, and we'll keep this conversation going these next few weeks. So this morning, as we prepare for our anointing service during our closing hymn, know that our God is powerful and merciful enough to bring dead souls to life. He's more than able to intervene and redeem the brokenness in our lives. So we invite you to the front or to the prayer room in the back to be anointed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And whatever it is you're going through, know that God is here, and know that God is able to make us new. So feel free, in the name of Jesus, to come as you're able to be anointed. Please rise for our closing hymn.
Thank you.
this need not be the end of our anointing service. If anyone would like to be anointed after the service, please see me or one of the deacons. We would be glad to do that for you. Brothers and sisters, as we leave this place, may we be one, asking God to give us his heart, that our heartbeat would be his heartbeat, and our heart would break by what breaks his. Lord, give us new hearts, chasing after you, enabling us to love others. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, peace be with you.